The hour of recess has expired. Senator from Shelby County.
Mr. President, would you please ask the secretary if there are messages from the House, and if so, have them read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read those messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted H.R. 1. House Resolution Number 1, be it resolved that the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives of the 102nd General Assembly, first regular session, inform the Governor and the Senate that the House is duly convened and is now in session in the 2023 constitutional veto session and ready for consideration of business also. Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted H.R. 2. House Resolution Number 2, be it resolved by the House of Representatives that the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives inform the Senate that the House, having been duly convened as provided by Article 3, Section 32 of the Constitution, adopted no motions to override the Governor's vetoes on CCS, SS, SCS, HCS, HB 2, CCS, SCS, HCS, HB 3, CCS, SCS, HCS, HB 4, CCS, SS, SCS, HCS, HB 5, CCS, SCS, HCS, HB 6, CCS, SCS, HCS, HB 7, CCS, SCS, HCS, HB 9, CCS, SCS, HCS, HB 10, CCS, SCS, HCS, HB 11, CCS, SS, SCS, HCS, HB 12, CCS, SCS, HCS, HB 15, SCS, HCS, HB 18, and SS for SCS, HCS, HB 20, when the bills were called by the Speaker. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has passed Section 8.090 for salary increases for the Highway Patrol, Section 8.95 for fringe benefit increases for the Highway Patrol, Section 8.100 for salary increases for the Highway Patrol, Section 8.105 for salary increases for the Highway Patrol, Section 8.125 for salary increases for the Highway Patrol, Section 8.130 for salary increases for the Highway Patrol, Section 8.140 for salary increases for the Highway Patrol, Section 8.215 for salary increases for the Highway Patrol, Section 8.220 for the fringe benefit increases for the Highway Patrol, Section 8.085 for salary increases for the Capitol Police, Section 8.270 for expenses of Missouri Task Force 1, and Section 8.501 for re-enlistment incentives of Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 8, the objections of the Governor thereto notwithstanding. Also, the attached are certified copies of the roll calls pertaining to CCS for SS for SCS for HCS for HB 8. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has passed Section 19.303 for the planning, design, land acquisition, utility relocation, and construction of capacity improvements on Interstate 44, and Section 19.504 for the planning, design, and construction of a police center in St. Louis City of Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 19, the objections of the Governor thereto notwithstanding. Also, the attached are certified copies of the roll call pertaining to the above named section of SS, SCS, HCS, HB 19. Respectfully submitted, Dana Rodeman Miller, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Put in writing.
I'm sorry, Senator.
I'd ask that the messages that were just read from the House be distributed in writing.
The messages will be distributed in writing.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 23rd, are you seeking recognition? Thank you. Senator from Shelby. Senator from the 23rd.
May I inquire for the senator from, while we wait for those to be distributed, if I can inquire the senator from the 29th.
Senator from Lawrence County, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. So we are waiting for these messages to be distributed to each of the senators' desk from so we know exactly what the House has overridden from the governor. So as I understand it, I was trying to follow along, and as those were being written, it sounds like there are essentially four things that got overridden. One, pay raises for the Highway Patrol. We also have, I heard, pay raises for the Capitol Police in there as well. I heard overriding the dollars to provide re-enlistment bonuses. I'm probably going to ask the Senator from Green what that was. And then I think there was another one, but I honestly did not catch it. So I think that was kind of an interesting thing. So we're just waiting for these to be distributed. Is that what you picked up from those messages?
Well, I'm glad you asked for the distribution of the messages, because I didn't hear them all because I was looking at some information that was sent to me prior that I hadn't taken a look at. And so now I can read the other information. This is kind of important stuff, some initiative petition information.
Initiative petition information. That's one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah. We're going to have to do something on that issue, and I hope this, maybe even before the coming session, if...
Let's what do you have, Senator? I mean, we're just waiting for the messages to be distributed, so let's... what do you got?
My understanding is there are 11 petitions that were distributed, and I'm looking at 6 additional, so there's 17 on the topic of abortion.
Okay.
And something caught my eye particularly, or my attention. Let me see if I can read this. Looks like it's attempting to revise Article 1 of the Constitution by adopting, and I'm not seeing that because there's something over it, one new section, Article 1, Section 30, or add one section, Article 1, Section 36, so it's in our Bill of Rights. And here's how it reads. Section A, Article 1 of the Constitution is revised, adopting one new section to be known as Article 1, Section 36, to read as follows. Section 36, point 1, the state shall not deny or interfere with the fundamental right to refuse to have an abortion. Section 2, the state shall not deny or interfere with the fundamental right to choose to have an abortion in the case of rape or incest or sexual assault, fatal fetal abnormality, or risk to the health or safety of the female seeking an abortion.
So already in that one that you just read, we have multiple subjects on that one. Because you could theoretically, in the standard for multiple subjects, you could theoretically say yes to one part of the question and no to another. So I think you actually, so the exceptions there's three different ones, right?
Yeah, there's absolutely a conundrum. It reminds me of Prop D.
So what I'm getting at is if there are three subjects, that is an unconstitutional initiative petition, which should be summarily rejected from the ballot by the Secretary of State. And in fact, I don't know if a lot of folks know this, Section 116.120 specifically empowers the Secretary of State to reject items from the ballot in the initiative petition process that violate constitutional requirements. And I don't know, you said these were just filed? Were these just filed?
I believe they were. I don't remember exactly when, but someone sent this to me at least a couple of weeks ago. So I've had them, but just didn't really scrutinize them. And to your point, I believe it's Article 3, Section 50.
You're talking about single subject requirement?
Well, for initiative petition, because there's Article 3, Section 21 and 23 for bills. But look, see, you got your Constitution in hand. Look,
I know.
You said
Article 3, Section which?
Section 50. And see
section
if that
50.
Has to do with IP.
All right. Let's see here.
And if I am mistaken, it'd be 39
here we
or
go.
So, but
yeah.
I believe it's 50.
Let's see here. Section 50, initiative petition, signatures required, form of procedure. Initiative petitions proposing amendments.
That's the one.
Shall be signed by 8% of the legal voters in each of the 2/3 of the congressional districts, and petitions proposing laws shall be signed by 5%.
And down in that section, you should say that it follows the same rules as single subject.
Petitions for Senator.
Yep.
Petitions for constitutional amendments shall not contain more than one amended and revised article of this Constitution, or one new article which shall not contain more than one subject and matters properly connected therewith, and the enacting clause thereof shall be. So that's the single subject clause.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm not a lawyer, right? Legal expert. I just go by the everyday standard of multiple subjects.
Senator, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but are we pontificating?
We may be. That's okay. Life is good.
Okay, good.
Actually, well, we're kind of waiting for the messages to be distributed.
So it really couldn't be construed as pontification.
We're waiting for messages to be distributed. right there in the second one that you read, it's very clear to me that there are multiple subjects that could have a different yes or no answer depending on which part of the question we're talking about, because you've named multiple possible exceptions to the bill that we've discussed, right? The pro-life bill that we passed, the heartbeat bill. So if you're going to add multiple exceptions, you should have a question for each one. So again, under state code 116.120, that petition ought to be rejected by the Secretary of State. I don't know that would ever get to the ballot.
I think there is a valid argument based on what you said in the second one. It essentially says the same thing, same article, Article 1, Section 36. The state shall not deny or interfere with the fundamental right to refuse to have an abortion. The state shall not deny or interfere with the fundamental right to choose to have an abortion through a gestational age of 12 weeks in the case of rape or sexual assault, incest, fatal fetal abnormality, or risk to the health or safety of the female seeking an abortion. And it goes on to talk about the events of rape or sexual assault. Nothing in this section shall be construed to repeal any law existing at the time of its passage unless such existing law directly conflicts with any provision of this section. Notwithstanding any other provision of law to the contrary, no person may be subject to any criminal prosecution or civil penalty if such a person is a pregnant female and induces, seeks, or obtains an abortion in the state or any state. So it's covering a lot of territory in that one too. And I believe this should be considered at length to compare what our existing laws are. And I think, was it 2019 when the heartbeat bill was passed? This flies in the face of just about everything we did in passing that legislation. So I think that if these are allowed to be put on the ballot, there's going to be a lot of controversy in trying to explain the justification for that. Now, I've got six of them here, and they all read similarly with a few changes in each, but it's all going down the same path of putting in the Constitution the right for someone to kill their baby while it's still developing. I had a conversation with someone today, and they talked about we had a bill filed last year that would allow for a tax deduction for expectant parents. And they said, well, you need to add that in for other individuals too. And also, with this particular element, they were okay with the termination of a developing human baby's life just because you can't see it. But Senator, I bet you've seen some of these ultrasounds that are in 3D. Have you ever seen those?
I don't know that I had. Go ahead.
You may have seen some pictures of them at least, and maybe saw them without knowing what they were, but they've got some of these videos of these ultrasounds where babies are doing gymnastics.
Yep.
And you can see, I'm not sure if you and your wife had this experience when you were expecting your children, but I remember when Denise was pregnant with at least one of ours, we'd see a footprint on her stomach from inside her womb. I thought that was just so cool. And, yeah. And you could push on the stomach and the baby would react. And I just think that's amazing.
So, Senator, I agree with you, and we've now gotten that. So I appreciate your inquiry very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the 23rd.
May I inquire from the Senator from Green?
Senator from Green, do you yield to an inquiry from your colleague of the 23rd District? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. So I now have our, are you okay over there?
I'm good. I'll just hold it. Yeah, we got a microphone malfunction.
You had a technical difficulty right there, Senator.
Place is falling apart, Senator.
Falling apart. So we've got the message now from the House. It looks like the House has overridden a few items. You've had a chance to review these?
No, I've not.
You have not. Okay,
nope.
So the items under consideration, potentially, is items that deal primarily in three or four subjects here, and I want to go through them real quick. One, salary increases for the Highway Patrol. I think you're probably familiar with that provision.
Well, I would probably categorize that as an additional salary increase, because what the governor did in that line, if I remember right, is he vetoed it down to an amount. He didn't veto everything that we did. I think the Highway Patrol ended up, and I think the Capitol Police were treated the same. Somewhere around like a 10 or 11% increase. So it didn't, just for clarification purposes, he didn't veto the entire increase that we gave to law enforcement. They actually got, it was an 11% increase. So he vetoed it down an amount, cut it down like, oh, I think in half maybe, but I'll double check.
Do you know what the, so the remaining, I see what you're saying, the remaining amount to give as a raise to the Highway Patrol, do you know what that fiscal note would be?
Not off the top of my head right now, no.
Do you know what the overall amount was?
No.
Okay. So partial raises, I guess I would say. Partial raises, because it sounds, if I understand you correctly,
they got about half of what the Senate and House approved in totality. So, I mean, like I said, I think he just cut it down to like an 11%, okay. Trying to keep it a little more in line, I think, with other state employees. So,
gotcha.
We kind of went above and beyond, Senator.
Right. So, Missouri Task Force One, what was that again?
That's National Guard. No, I think it's National Guard. That is folks who train for like natural disasters, and we have a force of a few hundred that can be deployed not only in this state but in other areas of natural disaster, hurricane relief and things like that.
So you vetoed the entire line item on that one.
I believe that's correct. Yeah, like I said, I'll go back and double check, but yeah. Okay. I think that's correct.
And then the last one has to do with a planning design line item for I-44.
Yeah, that was about $28 million in and around, oddly enough, the Springfield community. That was a priority. I think that is one of the things that came over from the House initially. So it was about a $28 million infrastructure improvement in and around I-44 around Springfield. Yeah.
Right, because I-44, I think we all have kind of talked about highways a lot this year.
We have.
I think I-44, as I've always understood, is kind of the next frontier that we'd like to start addressing after we did some work on I-70.
Right.
Would you concur with that?
Yeah.
So, fantastic. Do you have any intention of offering an override motion as the budget chair for any of these items?
I do not.
Do not?
Nope.
So is that because you don't believe the items are good, or is it more of a question of a concern about overriding the governor?
For me, it's a question of math, Senator. As I went back and I looked at the vote counts on all of these bills on the final motions. Now, granted, you take them in totality, right? You take a House Bill 2, a House Bill 3, all the way through. So we don't take in this chamber votes on every single specific item in every line. So you could maybe argue that the outcome could be different. But when I look at the necessary votes to override a governor being 23 in this chamber, I'm not sure that we'd get there. And I don't really like to come out here and do things when I don't know what the outcome's going to be. And so, I mean, I think the more important thing about the budget that we passed last year is there's a whole lot of good in there, and I think there's a lot of things, there's a lot of investments we made all around the state and everyone's districts that we can be proud of, and I don't know, this kind of seems like an exercise in futility, if you ask me. So no, I'm not planning on making any motions to override any of the items that the House took up.
Okay, all right, Senator, thank you so much for the inquiry.
You bet.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 23rd.
May I inquire from the Senator from Johnson?
Senator from Johnson County. I yield to an inquiry.
I do.
He does, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thanks, Senator. So, Senator, I know you just heard my inquiry with the Senator from Green. We've got a few items here in front of us, and it doesn't sound like the Senator from Green is going to make the motion to override any of them. You know, there's really interesting conversation about this budget, and I know that I've made many public comments about a budget that, first of all, was the largest budget we've ever had in the state of Missouri, included more new decision items than we've ever had in the state of Missouri. And in spite of a budget that I describe as making earmarks great again, which is what we did in this budget, we had more one-time projects for pet projects all over the state. It really feels like in spite of all that spending, there were quite a few number of priorities that I think could have absolutely have helped everyday folks in the state of Missouri that found their way to the governor's veto pen. I'll give you a couple examples. In St. Charles County, there was a provision in the budget that would have been a loan, a no-interest loan to the city of St. Charles so that money could be used towards new infrastructure in the city of St. Charles to help provide clean drinking water because they've had an issue where vinyl chloride has gotten into the water supply system due to the negligent activities of a very powerful special interest, one of our big utility companies in this state. And yet, even though that was only $5 million, $5 million out of $51 billion.
Senator, you said that was a loan, though, not a grant. So the city would have had to pay that back.
The city would have had to pay it back. And so in spite of the fact that it was the city paying back a few dollars to the state so that a city that we have in this state that has tens of thousands of people can have clean drinking water and not have vinyl chloride in their water that they're giving to their families and their children, the governor, Governor Parson, decided that that wasn't worthy of spending taxpayer dollars on. So even though we had pork projects of a walking path built over the top of I-70 in Kansas City, I mean, of all the things that this state needs, I'm not looking for another walking concrete walking path over I-70 in downtown Kansas City. Even though the taxpayer is going to spend $200 million on that item, Governor Parson doesn't think it's important to spend $5 million out of $51 billion so that a few folks in this state can have clean drinking water not contaminated by vinyl chloride. And that's why I always describe this budget as a product of this chamber that is the ultimate victory of the swamp over the people. And I don't think it's the only one. In fact, I think that the governor was both punitive in his vetoes and showed a significant lack of good judgment because he was going after the few items in this bloated budget that actually would have helped folks. You know what wouldn't have helped folks? Spending tens of millions of dollars on private stadium upgrades. Wouldn't it? That's not doing anything for the state of Missouri. But when it comes to making sure our highway patrol is getting the pay raises that they need, when it comes to making sure we have training facilities for law enforcement, that found the governor's veto pen. And it's frustrating to me, Senator. It's frustrating. So now, unfortunately, the items I just mentioned didn't make an override over the House. So our hands are kind of tied here.
Right.
But I think that for folks that wondering whether or not there were overrides that a few of us would support, of course there are. There's a lot of bad in that budget that I think should have been vetoed. A lot of waste in that budget that should have been vetoed and wasn't. And the taxpayer who are now going to see tens of billions of their dollars going towards pork projects all over this state, instead of seeing their property tax bills go down, instead of seeing their personal property tax bills disappear, We're going to get, we have enriched the powerful in this state via the sports teams in this state. We are building concrete walking paths over the top of I-70. And in the meantime, the people of this state will have a record tax burden just for the crime of owning a car or owning a home. And Senator, I can't help but feel like that's why a lot of people are frustrated and angry about what goes on in this city. And you heard from the budget chairman himself. Is he going to take action, even if we can set aside a few more dollars to ensure our highway patrol, who is keeping our highway safe? And by the way, the highways that the highway patrol are patrolling, particularly around our urban areas, are the conduits that are being used by criminals to affect the collar counties in those areas, and are the primary gateways for everything from human trafficking to the fentanyl invasion. So it's frustrating to me. It's frustrating to me that I can't help but feel, because I can't think of any significant reason or philosophical justification of why Governor Parson is okay with people in St. Charles City drinking vinyl chloride in their water. I can't think of what that justification might be, but apparently he's okay with that. That we are wasting tens of billions of dollars. So, Senator, I guess my question for you is, do you concur that even in the context of a budget that wastes more money than we've ever seen in this state, there still may be items in there that are worthy of consideration of an override that we ought to take a look at?
I would agree with you. You know, most certainly if all 34 of us in here came up with a budget, we would have different items and different priorities in that budget. But you know, most certainly there were some budget bills that I voted against that had some good things in it and some things that I supported. But when you go from 5 years ago of having a budget of $28 billion to today, when we have a budget of $50 billion, an increase of $22 billion over the last 5 years, that raises a lot of red flags, and I do have a lot of concerns with that. And so it seems like we do have a spending problem. Are there some things in the budget that I supported for parts of my district? Yes, most certainly. There were some Absolutely. Things that the governor vetoed, and there were some things that he let through. But you know, for the most part, you know, do I support law enforcement? Do I support the highway patrol? Yes. I would, if we were to take up a vote on these, I would most certainly vote in the affirmative of
Agreed.
These.
Agreed. Well, Senator, I don't know that it certainly sounds like the budget chairman is not interested in seeing these pay raises through for the highway patrol or some of these improvements on, or the study, I guess, for I-44. And since it's a House bill, we're not going to get the opportunity
Right.
to look at some of the other things that I think you and I agree, of all the spending that's gone on, we would support. And I think that's unfortunate. But here we are, Senator. Here we are, Senator. So I wanted to make that point. Senator, thank you. Unless you have anything else, Senator, thank you so much for the inquiry.
No, thank you, Senator.
Senator from Shelby County.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be announcements. Announcements. Senator from Shelby.
No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned, sine die, pursuant to the Constitution.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Shelby County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand adjourned, sine die, pursuant to the Constitution.